Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 33. Once again, my co-host David Todd is out in Las Vegas. I only can imagine him holed up somewhere in one of the sports books there. Either that or he's lost all of his money and he's on the side of the strip right there with a makeshift cooler selling bottled waters to tourists for a buck each. So without further ado, my guy that's gotten the helmet all week, called up from the practice squad, if you will, done a fantastic job. Nick Ricchetta joins me again on the Terrible Podcast full week. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I hope David isn't married or something.
Yeah. And if he is, let's hope it's a woman.
Yeah, you never know with Vegas.
You never know. We go out there, me and my wife, quite a bit over the years, and Disneyland for adults, that's for sure. So
yes, sir.
I'm gonna ask him about his trip when he gets back. Hopefully he'll be on with me Monday. But as the old saying goes, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, so we'll go from there. But, Nick, let's get right to it here. Already a little bit of news on a Friday. We'll kind of start with the injury report here, and it kind of looks as expected. We have Aaron Smith, Casey Hampton, James Harrison, Doug Legursky all ruled out after not practicing all week. No surprise there. We were kind of worried about Chris Hoke, and he hasn't practiced all week either. He hits the injury report as doubtful. Regardless of his status on Sunday, I fully expect Steve McClendon to make his first start at nose tackle, and really at this point I'd be surprised if Hoke does dress. Linebacker Jason Worlds did not work today after suffering a bruise yesterday that caused him to be limited. He's, of course, listed as questionable. We'll see how that goes, and we're going to expand on that here in a minute. Marquise Pouncey dinged his elbow yesterday, supposedly has a wrap on it. He went full practice today. Mike Wallace practiced fully with his hamstring problem, and running back Rashard Mendenhall also showed up on a Thursday injury report with a knee issue. He was limited yesterday, back practicing fully today. I expect all three of those guys to suit up and play. Not on the injury report this week is Chris Kimoato, Mualdi Moore, and Marcus Gilbert, all coming back from injuries. Kimo's going to start at left guard. I would suspect Mualdi Moore gets the helmet this week with Jonathan Dwyer down. Marcus Gilbert reportedly is going to start at right tackle instead of Jonathan Scott. And, Nick, we talked about this the other day. If Chris Hoke was possibly going to be down, that we thought somebody would be possibly promoted from the practice squad, and that indeed is the case, as Corbin Bryant, guy we talked about the other day, has been promoted. We don't know who has been released yet, but odds are it's Jamon Meredith. Give me your thoughts on the walking MASH unit and the promotion of Corbin Bryant.
Well, I think Corbin Bryant, even though he may get a helmet, I still don't think he's going to see a ton of time. It's obviously Steve McClendon's job right now. Chris Hoke being down is definitely going to be a big blow, and I think Steve's going to get the bulk, the majority of the work there in the middle. And you might see then even Ziggy get some time at the nose. Who knows who else they're going to bring in, but I think your rotation, your four guys, is going to be Ziggy, McClendon, Kiesel, and then Cam Hayward. I think those guys are going to see the bulk of your work. And Corbin Bryant, even though he's being brought up from the practice squad, he is still a defensive end. He is not a nose tackle. So basically you only have one healthy, pure nose tackle there in Steve McClendon. So he's going to get the bulk of the snaps there, and he's going to need to shine. He's got a lot more quickness, obviously, than Casey and both Hoke do. So his game's kind of different. He's not as strong, you know, in his legs as both of those bigger guys. So maybe his game is going to be to shoot some gaps and cause some disruption in the backfield, and we're going to see how that goes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, too. And for Steeler Nation out there, I think you could have a glimpse kind of into the future here of you know, your defensive line of the future. Of course, Ziggy plays better on the left side and over the nose. And I'm with you that he could see a few snaps if McClendon needs a break there over the nose. Probably not too many. Brett Kiesel, of course, is better suited on the right side. I wouldn't expect to see him get any left side snaps, but nothing's out of the question due to injury right now. So when you add in Corbin into that, along with Cameron Hayward's going to get a lot of snaps this week. It probably, we saw him, I think he had a snap or two on the left side even last week. And, his primary side is going to be spelling Kiesel on that right side there. So maybe a little glimpse of the future. And this is time for McClendon to shine right here. And you hit on it. His quickness off the ball is good. He's not as strong as Casey Hampton, I don't think, or Chris Hoke for that matter. He should have plenty enough time with that technique and all, as far as spreading out the run and all, and forcing getting after the ball carrier. So he'll be a key cog in the defense that we watch this week. But I'm with you too on Corbin Bryant. I would not expect, unless somebody else goes down, for him to get many snaps. I would expect that he gets a helmet though this week, especially if Chris Hoke is doubtful on Sunday. So there you go. That's the walking mash unit for this week. Let's hope Pouncey can take all the snaps there at center, and we'll know more about who got released later in the day when that transaction becomes official there. But let's guy on this injury report we've talked about, Jason Worlds, man. From what I understand, it was just a kind of a deep bruise yesterday, but Steeler Nation already has been kind of down on this guy. And let's face it, if he dresses on Sunday and does not get the start at right outside linebacker, what's that tell us?
I think his time is running limited. I mean, the guy's got all the talent in the world. He's a freakish athlete. He's so quick off the ball. He's getting stronger. He's starting to learn more. It's just all about staying healthy for him right now. In the beginning, in training camp, in the preseason and stuff like that, his head just wasn't there. He didn't seem like he was into it all too much mentally, but he had the physical tools. And now that his head's starting to come around and, he's always had those physical tools, he just needs to keep himself healthy. And, I think that's the biggest problem he's having, obviously. And if you can't get on the field or can't stay healthy, you can't show what you got. And his time is just running short on Jason a bit.
Yeah, you're starting to hear the after he was drafted, there were claims that the next Alonzo Jackson and all like that. And anytime a rookie season, you've got to kind of discount all that type talk, especially in a Dick LeBeau 3-4 defense. There's so much to learn. But, here we are, week 7. We talked about this the other day. It's just, come on, man. It's time, as the old saying goes, it's time to, as my dad used to tell me, shit or get out the pot. And excuse my French, but, I mean, it is what it is here. If this guy is in uniform and dressing, he should be, he's missed a golden opportunity here with James Harrison out. Lawrence Timmons, say what you will. Someone asked the other day on Twitter if I think it was Daxamillion, one of my Twitter followers, longtime listener of the show, asked, is Lawrence Timmons a bust? I said, oh, no, hell no, he's not a bust. He's just better suited to play the inside and chase down the ball carrier. And I'm going to be a little bit concerned. Now, there is talk, too, that maybe Worlds comes in on passing downs and all like that. But the way I see it, man, if this guy's healthy enough to put on a uniform, he should be healthy enough to nail down that right outside spot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree. I don't think they're going to stick him out there if he's, 50%, 75%, even 80%. He's going to have to be pretty much completely healthy for them to stick him out there, because he's still a young guy. He's still learning. And, if he's not 100% physically, and he's definitely not 100% mentally yet, they're not going to just throw him into the fire like that. If he's going to be up and get a helmet, I would expect to see him definitely get some time out there, and he'd have to be back at almost 100%.
Yeah, you can bet we'll be counting those snaps this week in the participation reports that you guys do as well. So we'll definitely be looking at that. Something else has been on our mind too, of course, and that's been Ben Roethlisberger. We touched briefly the other day on his accuracy issues and all like that, and I went a step further yesterday and broke down his deep passing stats. And, you know, they are what we think they are. You know, he has been off so far this year. Not so bad on the passes thrown 41 yards or longer. He's 3 for 4 for 174 yards, which is absolutely fantastic. Of course, the two touchdowns in those long balls and a long being 81 to Mike Wallace. So that's not the problem. Where he is starting to have problems, or where he's showing his problems, is between passes thrown 21 yards to inside 40 yards there, where, you know, overall, if you look at his deep ball passing stats altogether, 6 of 17, 267 yards, 35% completion ratio, and a quarterback rating of 83.2. You know, not overly bad, especially when you compare it to some of the other quarterbacks around the league, but, I mean, he's off this year, and Pro Football Focus had a post up this morning or late last night. I can't remember, and I'm trying to get to it right now. But Roethlisberger's completion percentage compared to other quarterbacks from 20 yards or greater, he's down there at the bottom. In fact, let's see here. They have him at 34.6% completion ratio on those passes 20 yards or longer. And, you know, that's down towards the bottom. Some of your best deep ball quarterbacks, according to their stats, Tony Romo, 60%, Michael Vick, 60%, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers are up there as well. And, you know, Roethlisberger, for the eligible guys with enough stats on this list, came in 26th. The only bright spot to that list is you have the Cardinals quarterback down there towards the bottom as well. So, actually, Kevin Cobb's at 45.5%, I should say. He's ranked 14th on here. But, you know, still better than Roethlisberger. So, you know, what he needs to do, he needs to connect with Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown a little bit better that we talked about last podcast in those intermediate areas of the field, which I think are going to be open this week.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the thing I think with what Ben's problem is that sometimes he gets a little antsy in the pocket. You know, we know Ben's game is to, you know, scramble around and, you know, break tackles back there. And it looks like he's playing, you know, sandlot backyard football sometimes. But I think he gets a little antsy and feels pressure that's not there. A lot of times when you see Ben overthrow, it's when he's stepping up in the pocket. And instead of setting his feet and rearing back and throwing a strike, he seems to continue to fall forward or continue to move towards the line. And I think his momentum going forward really sails the ball on him sometimes. And I noticed that a lot from him. And I think that's what happened on a bunch of balls to Emmanuel Sanders so far. Even that ball to Antonio Brown. I think Ben just needs to sometimes just, if he's going to step up in the pocket, that's fine. Avoid the rush. Do what you need to do. But, you know, set your feet and rear back and throw a strike. You don't need to continue to fall forward in that, because that momentum is making him throw long and throw high a little bit. And I think that's what Ben's problem kind of has always been.
You know what I wonder about too, you know, during his suspension last season, you know, he worked out with George Whitfield Jr., who we have had on the show a while back ago. And this is the same guy that's worked with Cam Newton. I mean, this guy is the quarterback guru. And, you know, all that time that he had with Whitfield last year really seemed to do Ben good. And, of course, you know, with the lockout this year, Ben getting married, all the other stuff that's going on, you know, I haven't heard where he's worked out with Whitfield. Wouldn't, you know, surely that would have come to surface by now. But maybe, you know, maybe that wouldn't be bad money for Ben to spend, you know, back every off season again to keep up with Whitfield and have him coach him on those things. Because, I mean, let's face it, quarterbacks can get into bad habits in a hurry. And you know, I just wonder how much of that has to do with it. But I'm with you as well, too. We've seen Roethlisberger kind of unsettled in the pocket, which is to be expected with all the offensive line injuries this year and all. And you're right, when he steps up, he's kind of running forward a little bit. The ball kind of sails on him at times. But, you know, I think this is him and Sanders and Brown that we've talked about. I think these are the key guys here. You know, if he's going to try to connect to the long ball, teams are trying to take Mike Wallace away more. more and more, and with good reason. And if he's not going to stick to that short passing game like he did a couple of weeks ago with the Titans, he's got to start hitting these, because teams, I think, are giving him that 25 to 30-yard pass here. And, you know, if he starts hitting these, I think you really can see that offense click.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know what you got in Mike Wallace with the deep threat. You know what you have in Hines Warden, a reliable guy that's going to catch all the short stuff and be a possession receiver for you. And I'm completely with you. You know, Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown are your key guys on those big, longer intermediate routes, the shallow post patterns, the out routes, the deeper drags. You know, all that stuff down the seams and crossing patterns and stuff. Those are the two guys that are running those routes, and those are your money routes right there. You get the ball to those in those guys' hands early on those routes and get them in space, and they are just fast and dynamic and electric. And he definitely needs to get on track and on the same page as those two young guys and get them involved early.
Yeah, we've seen Emmanuel Sanders on offense slowly. You chart all the offensive snaps for me each week. We've seen Emmanuel Sanders slowly start eating into the snaps of Antonio Brown the last few weeks. And, in fact, he's been getting more than Antonio the last few games, I believe. And, you know, that's kind of to be expected. Emmanuel's more of a better blocking wide receiver than Antonio is, and Antonio's missed a couple of those hot reads that have been crucial at different points in the game. These kids have got to, you know, realize just because it's their sophomore year, there's no guarantees in the NFL. They need to tighten up, and I hope we see that, and I think we'll see that this week. And I'm not down on Ben at all. Don't think I'm in the Ben Roethlisberger hate club. It's just things that we noticed, this year that's not that he's not connecting on, and it just hasn't been long passes either. He's shown a little accuracy issues on some shorter throws, you know, especially during the early part of the season. But let's move forward and start breaking down this Cardinals game this Sunday, Nick. First of all, how worried are you about this game?
I'm not too worried, actually. I mean, you go into every game, you know, with your doubts, and you want to be confident about everything, and you pick out little things about each team that could, you know, exploit the Steelers' weaknesses and stuff. But, you know, this is a team that they should go in and beat. I think the Cardinals only have one win. Their defense is a little bit older. You know, it seems like they just pick up, I don't want to call them trash, but every guy that the Steelers drop, you know, Pittsburgh West out there in Arizona is picking up. And I just think there's a lot of weaknesses there on the defense and maybe on their offensive line that the Steelers should and need to exploit, and I think they have a chance to win big again this week, and I just think they need to get the job done.
What would you start off with, with the Steelers on offense and the Cardinals on defense? Give me a few of your keys when we see that.
I think there's three keys to the Steelers offense this week. One is so cliche: establish the run. You got to get Rashard going. He really got going last week. You're going to spell him with Redmond. He can pound on that defense a bit. But, you know, establishing a run against a team that you can run against and should run against is definitely going to be one key. Capitalizing on opportunities, you know, the deep balls, when there's a hole there, Rashard's got to hit it. When you have Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown open, when Heath Miller's open, we got to hit these opportunities. And that goes into my third key, which is get Ben back on track. Ben needs to just ground himself a little bit. Get focused, get right, and just take advantage of the opportunities that he's going to get, because they're going to be there. They're going to give him opportunities, and he's going to have his chances to make plays, and he's got to capitalize.
Yeah, and I posted this morning about I threw this stat out on Twitter after doing some of the talk stats that I like to keep every week and all, and the Cardinals have given up. Let me see if I can find it here. They've given up 31 explosive plays of 20 yards or more through the first five games. Of course, they were on the bye last week. 26 explosive plays through the air and five on the ground. And when, you know, when you go and look at their rankings for the season overall, defense-wise, they're giving up, let's see, 7.51 passing yards a play, which is ranked 22nd in the league on that. They're ranked 20th in passing yards a game, allowing 258.2 a game as well. And first downs game, they're allowed, you know, they're ranked 29th in the league in that aspect of the game. The only thing, you know, for the most part, maybe would be the rushing yards per play that they're giving up. But on the flip side, they're, you know, the rushing yards per game, they're allowing 118.8 average of yards per game, which that kind of tells me, too, that you know, maybe some people are able to extend a few drives on them as well. So, you know, they're not bad, awful in any one area, but, you know, overall they're just, you know, their defense is giving up the big plays and that's killing them. And I think that's something that the Steelers need to exploit this week. And I'm with you too about establishing a run. I don't think the run has to be great. I just think it has to be enough to bring some play action in here to keep these linebackers honest and keep the safeties maybe taking a step in when they shouldn't here. They're going to be without one of their safeties this week, their free safety Kerry Rhodes, who's out with a broken foot. I believe Rashad Johnson's going to fill in for him this week. Adrian Wilson, their strong safety, he plays like a damn linebacker. This guy is also, you know, there's rumor he might be playing with a torn bicep or something through this season. So, you know, if you can get Adrian Wilson up in the box and start, you know, enforcing him to respect the run and punish him along the way, and, you know, have that Kerry Rhodes, Rashad Johnson back there at free safety, kind of spin his head around looking him off, I think there's some opportunity for some big plays here on Sunday, and I fully expect Roethlisberger to take advantage of it.
I completely agree, and like you said, you know, with Rashad Johnson being in there, he's not as experienced, and especially with those two young corners on the outside, and I think A.J. Jefferson and Patrick Peterson, those guys are going to be able to be exploited. You know, they're both aggressive guys. I think you can get them peeking in the backfield a bit on play action, and let's be honest, as good as Patrick Peterson is and as athletic and freakish as he is, if he peeks in the backfield for more than a half a second and Mike Wallace is even, he's leaving. So he needs to I think they definitely need to exploit the big plays on those younger guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see if they let that rookie line up. to me, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a perfect test for Peterson to see where he is in his development. But, God, I just couldn't see, you know, trying to – you know, he's got good speed and all, but, you know, I'm not sure if he's seen what they like to call oh shit speed, you know, and that could be this week as well. And it's going to be interesting if they put Jefferson out on there, if they put Peterson out there on him early. But even, you know, regardless of who he's on, you know, if Antonio Brown's in the game, he's no slowpoke either. That's why I fully expect these guys to be, you know, for us to be trying to go deep again this week. And, you know, their defensive line, really outside of Darnell Dockett, not real, you know, really too overly impressed. I think I really like that Dan Williams kid, you know, nose tackle when he came into the league. But when he was drafted, I thought he would be a lot better than what he was. And, in fact, I kind of thought at one time maybe he would be on the Steelers' radar during that draft, maybe as a future nose tackle, but it looks like he's kind of underachieved. Of course, our old friend Joey Porter is, you know, right outside linebacker, and then our other friend Clark Hagan's left outside. So, you know, they know what they're doing as far as a 3-4 defense goes there. But the Arizona Cardinals website even had a great article up today about Ray Horton and some of the, you know, how slow they have been to implementing in some of these aspects of the 3-4, which is not surprising as complex as it is. And, you know, you're going to have to, you know, you got to exploit where they're not able to cover. And I think that's going to be in those soft areas of the zone and up deep there. So, you know, that's kind of wrapping up the defense there. I think you can run it at Dan Williams up the middle. I expect Rashard to kind of be hitting the hole hard this week as well. But that's our kind of a wrap on that side. Why don't you let's flip the ball a little bit and when the Cardinals are on offense and the Steelers are on defense.
Well, obviously, number one is stopping Beanie Wells in the run game. That's a given every week. Steelers pride themselves on stopping the run. They should stop the run. They're going to stop the run. That's what they do. And that's going to make the Cardinals one-dimensional, which is always what you want to do to a team. Then that'll allow, you know, maybe if Jason Worlds is in there to pin his ears back and go after the quarterback, of course, Woodley. Timmons, you know, they like to bring Farrier sometimes too. So I think making them one-dimensional and stopping the run is going to allow our linebackers to get after Cobb a little bit and put a lot of pressure on him. And I definitely think that's what you have to do. Kevin Cobb is not slow by any means. He's a mobile guy, but I think you can get to him a little bit with pressure and make him uneasy in the pocket, which is definitely going to be key. And I think the biggest key is going to be getting off the field on third downs. We've seen the Steelers have problems with this in the past. They've been spotty with it so far this year. But you can't let teams keep their drives going on third down. You know, if you're 50% on third down, you know, that's tolerable. But when teams are converting, you know, third and eights or longer on you, it gets pretty frustrating. And the Steelers have been giving up longer third downs and letting teams continue their drives, especially late in games, and it's getting a little frustrating. So I definitely think that's going to be emphasized this week, to get off the field on third downs and stall the drives.
And, you know, their tackles have been I don't know how to describe it. I mean, we've seen the Steelers have some pretty poor tackle play at times this year. But, man, their tackles are just as bad, you know, having problems protecting Cobb and all like that. And, of course, those guys we're talking about, Levi Brown and Brandon Keith, who's on the right side there, that there's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't be able to get after the quarterback this week. Sacks per pass attempt, their offense is ranked 24th in the league in that area. Their interception rate is 27th in the league. The rushing yards a game is 21st, but rushing yards per play, though, they're averaging 4.15. And Beanie Wells is not a type guy. You know, he's a big bruising type running back, but he's not a guy that's going to run away from you. He's not a guy that's going to beat you to the edge. He's going to be a north and south type guy for the most part, and he's just going to try to punish you and wear you down. So, you know, whoever is in the middle, that's why I kind of, you know, I really hope we see Worlds on the outside, get Timmons back inside where he belongs, along with James Ferrier and all. And if those guys can shed the second level blockers, and if the defensive line can keep everything forced inside there and let the linebackers and safety, you know, Troy Polamalu, if he creeps up in the box, do his job, that's what they need to do. So that plain and simple. And as far as Larry Fitzgerald goes, you know, Ike's going to have him on the outside. I do not expect them to shut Larry Fitzgerald down to two or three catches in the game. I expect them to try to go to him early, especially on obvious passing situations there. But, you know, as long as you keep him in front of you and don't let him beat you for the big play, that's all you have to do, you know, over the long haul. It's what Dick LeBeau and that defense prides itself on doing. As far as the other guys on the other side, William Gay and Keenan Lewis are, of course, going to be in there this week, especially on the nickel. And their other receiving units, you know, Andre Roberts, Early Doucette, and all like that, they don't put the fear of God in anybody. These are guys that they should be able to keep underneath, keep for short gains. And let's face it, Nick, there's something that we haven't seen a lot of this year, and that's turnovers, man. And we have got to start making some turnovers on defense.
Absolutely, and I think just like you said, turnovers is going to be massive. We definitely got to start creating turnovers and getting the ball back to our offense. And one last thing that we didn't touch on is so simple, and it's just got to be done. There's really no way to explain it. It's just tackle the ball carrier. Way, way, way too many missed tackles this year, and that might be the most frustrating thing on defense. If you're getting gashed in the run, you know, you're just getting your butt kicked. It happens. If you're getting gashed in the passing game, you know, they're just finding holes. It happens. If you can't get after the quarterback and they're blocking well, you know, that happens too. You're just physically outmatched, but there's no reason to be missing as many tackles as they have been this year. And I think that definitely needs to be emphasized and really shoved up their rear ends this week.
I agree. A little breaking news coming across right now. It was kind of expected. Troy Polamalu has been fined $10,000 for using that cell phone on the sideline to call his wife and tell her he was okay after that, suffering a concussion or concussion-like symptoms this past week against the Jaguars. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I guess it's got to be done. Rules are rules. It's it's kind of pocket change Detroit at this point anyway with that big contract he just got. Whether we think it's dumb or not, whatever, I don't think it's too big a news. I just hope James Harrison doesn't get fined for it.
Yeah. I can see why he did. I can see why the league has fined him. I think Tomlin's going to go to bat for him. I would expect this to be appealed. But, regardless of who handed him the phone, I guess, I mean, what do you do? What if it was a call? I don't know. You know, the doctor, team doctor handed him a phone. It wasn't Troy's personal cell phone. I don't know the specifics behind anything more than that. Maybe an unfortunate circumstance that the camera ended up panning to him during that being on the phone there. Would they have probably uncovered it anyway? Perhaps, but they're going to have to get a arbitrator or something in the future on some of these fines, an ex player or something like that, to kind of go on these issue by issue basis. But there it is, $10,000 for Troy Polamalu this week. Anything in particular? I think we talked about in the special teams area. Let's not send the punt block team when we got the team by the throat in their own end there late in games. I think we both agree on that and not give them, extended possession there. On the flip side, I don't want to see any more of these fake reverses or anything like that. Antonio Brown's a big kid. He's broken off some big runs. I'd rather have him running north and south.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just time that they stop putting guys back there. Emmanuel Sanders doesn't need to be out there with him. There's no reason to have both those guys out there. Just send Antonio back there deep. Let him catch the ball and make one cut, hit a seam, and go, because the kid's dynamic. I mean, when he does get a chance to return, especially on kickoffs, you see him, he hits the hole like a lightning bug, and I just think you just need to give the kid room to run and just say, hey, no dancing, up the field, make your cut, make your one move, and just go.
Yeah, and, one other wrapping up the, I forgot the one of the points I wanted to get to for the Cardinals this week. Todd Heap, I haven't seen the official, but he hadn't practiced the last 2 days. I haven't seen the Friday injury report on him yet. But, the Cardinals like to use that middle seam part of the field there and use their tight ends. So regardless if he's in there or not, the Steelers need to make sure they're watching that center of the field there. I would expect them to try to use their tight ends, if they can this week, if they're not having to keep that many in to block in pass protection here. So that's one other thing I forgot to get to and kind of my keys to the game there. Well, let's see, Nick, as we do every week, we try to get to some of our picks here and get those out there, and I'm trying to get those pulled up here right now. And the Week 7 games, Nick, we have the Bears playing the Buccaneers. This is the game over in London, England at Wembley Stadium. The Bears are favored by 1 point in this game. What's your thoughts?
I'm going to take the Bears laying one. I just think with the way they're playing right now and how bad the Bucs are playing, especially with LeGarrette Blount being out, that's a huge blow to their running game. And with the throttling the Bears just laid on the Minnesota Vikings, they're playing pretty good football right now, and I'm going to take the Bears laying one.
Yeah, this is a tough game. I didn't think, the Buccaneers, though, they played a good game against the Saints last week. They were able to intercept Breeze a few times there, and I don't think the Buccaneers are as bad as what they've been up until this point. This is a tough game. I will not be playing this game personally, but gun to my head, I want the Buccaneers in the point. I think the Buccaneers can win this game. Let's see, the Redskins traveling to Carolina. That game is pretty much a pick 'em right now from the Panthers are favored by 3 in this game.
I'm going to go with Cam and the Panthers. I think it's about time they win a football game. I think Cam's got a little magic in him this week, and I just think he gets it done against a team in the Redskins that's in a transition right now with John Beck coming in. I think he might be a little, overwhelmed in his first start, so I'm going to take the Panthers.
I am not a fan of Beck at all. I mean, I think that organization's in a mess quarterback-wise. They're going to have to do something about that. You know, Cam is dangerous. I mean, he's really has surprised me this year thus far. I guess give me the Panthers, lay the 3 at home. I don't know why. I'll be staying away from this game as well. Yeah, the Chargers traveling to New York to take the Jets. I believe the Chargers are coming off the bye week there. The Jets didn't look overly fantastic, especially in the first half against the Dolphins, but you know they were the better team all together there. The Chargers, though, are favored by 2.5 on the road.
I had the Jets written down initially, but I think I'm going to change it. The Chargers coming off the bye week, I think they'll be prepared. Having an extra week to prepare for that Jets defense is definitely going to be big. The Chargers offense, you know, how explosive they're being. The Jets defense hasn't even been playing all that well lately, and with the Jets offense being basically anemic, I'm going to go with the Chargers.
You know, this is going to come down to, I think, who can run the ball better here because, you know, I think Revis on the outside kind of cancels out Vincent Jackson right there. I think Rivers is the better quarterback there. Perhaps maybe he does a little bit more with his arm. I think the Chargers can run the ball in this game. I really like this game, and I like the Chargers laying the 2.5, so that's what I'm going to take. I think this is a field goal game. I think the Chargers win it late with a field goal. Seahawks, but probably one of the who cares, you know, who cares what happens in this game unless you're a Steelers fan wanting the Browns to lose, of course. Seahawks are traveling to Cleveland. The Browns laying 3.
And I guess maybe I am a Steelers fan wanting the Browns to lose. I'm going to go with the Seahawks getting the 3 on the road. They seem to be playing decently lately. They're getting the running game going a bit. Had that late-game magic against the Giants. So maybe a little more magic in this game. I'll take the Seahawks.
I think the Browns, I think Holmgren knows too much about what goes on over there out west. I know they've had some changes and all underneath Pete Carroll out there in Seattle and all. I just think the Browns are the better team altogether here. 3 points, this has really push written all over it, but give me the Browns -3. Houston traveling to Tennessee, take on the Titans. The Titans are actually favored by 3. Texans without Andre Johnson again this week.
And I think that's going to be the difference. I think them being without Andre Johnson and Mario Williams, two real big key injuries, that hurts the morale of the team. That hurts the physicality of the team, obviously, the production. So I'm going to take Tennessee at home, laying the 3.
I think Wade Phillips is going to have it dialed in this week. You know, I think that the Texans can still move the ball with Arian Foster and all. The Titans, to me, just really, you know, it's either CJ or nothing with them. I'm not convinced they're still going to be able to run the ball well against Houston. We'll see. That being said, Texans on the road, I want the 3 points. Denver, Tim Tebow going back to the state of Florida to take on the Dolphins. this is another game that, oh well, but, you know, Tebow making his debut here back in the state of Florida. This is a pick'em game.
And that's Tebow's the only reason I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos. I have no other reason to go with them. Not a very good football team, but neither are the Dolphins. But Tebow going back to Florida, there might even be more Tebow jerseys in the stands than there are Dolphins jerseys. So I'm just going to say Tebow back at home in Florida.
Yeah, they'll be sucking for luck here a little bit longer, I think. And I'm with you. I think this is the story of the week. I think Tebow probably goes out, throws something for like 220 yards, runs one in, passes for 2 more maybe. He'll be the talk of the football world at the end of the day there. So, yeah, give me the Broncos and the pick'em game here. The Falcons travel to Detroit. Detroit coming off, smarting off that their first loss of the season. You know, Falcons, we don't know what team we're going to get there, especially on the road. The Lions are favored by 3.5 here.
Yep, and like you said, I'm kind of scared about picking the Falcons, but I'm going to anyway because you never know which team is going to show up. But I think Michael Turner shows up. I think Roddy White and Matt Ryan show up. I think that defense makes the Lions one-dimensional with Javid Best being banged up a little bit, and I'm going to take the Falcons given the 3.5.
Yeah, they're getting 3.5 there. And I'm kind of with you on this. I'm not convinced they'll be able to run. I think this is going to be all on Matt Ryan and Megatron's shoulders here. I think they hook up a couple of times. I think the Falcons on the flip side, you know, if they can keep Matt Ryan upright from that Lions pass rush, I think the Falcons can hang with them. I'm not saying the Falcons win this game. Maybe it's a field goal win by the Lions. So that being said, I want the Falcons plus the 3.5 here. Kansas City traveling to Oakland, take on the Raiders. Of course, Carson Palmer's back. Haven't heard officially if he's going to start this week, but I would think signs are pointing that way. The news came out today that Sebastian Janikowski might not play in this game, so they're having to try out some kickers in a hurry there for the Raiders, and that's a big part of their offense. Right now, this game I'm showing is off the board here. So, you know, let's assume that it's the -6, Oakland -6, the way it was before it came off the board. What's your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'm kind of ticked off that Seabass might be out because he's on my fantasy team and he's been a top point getter for me this year. But anyway, I'm going to take the Raiders laying the 6 if that's going to be the line. I don't think Carson Palmer is going to be really that much of a factor, but I think Darren McFadden is.
So you would lay the 6 if it's there?
Yes.
I'm kind of with you here. Boy, the Raiders are riding on cloud 9. I think they're the better team than Kansas City is. I think regardless of Seabass, they'll be able to have somebody come in there and at least nail down some threes there if they get inside or stall inside the red zone here. McFadden, I think, is the difference in this ball game. I think they're going to lean on the run. We'll see how the line goes moving through this through the weekend here, but if it stays at 6, I'm willing to lay the 6. The Rams travel to take on the Cowboys. This is another game that's off the board right now. I'm seeing when it went off, it was the Cowboys -13.5. I think the big question here is the health of Sam Bradford there at quarterback there. So let's assume it's 13.5. The Cowboys are favored.
And that's a ton of points to lay, but I'm going to do it anyway because if Sam Bradford's not playing, they don't even have a shot. The Cowboys offense seems to be clicking a little bit, started clicking a little bit last week against the Patriots. Their defense looking not too bad at times, and I think the Rams defense is just pathetic at this moment, so I'm going to take the Cowboys laying all those points.
Yeah, I'm with you. Their problems last week, though, was in the red zone. They were moving the ball pretty much up and down the field. They just couldn't punch it in there. They're going to have to get that solved on offense. That being said, you know, coming off that loss, this is almost a must-win, in my opinion, for the Cowboys here, and I think they get it, and I think they cover that 13.5 here as well. Packers-Vikings, this used to be a big game a few years ago. Not so much now. Packers favored by 10 traveling to Minnesota.
I'm going to lay all those points as well and take the Green Bay Packers. Adrian Peterson's the only person that can be a difference in this game for the Vikings, and I think the Packers are going to shut him down. And then if it's in McNabb's hands, he's just going to worm burn a couple out to those receivers, and that'll be the end of it. And I think Aaron Rodgers just completely takes control of this game and thrashes that Minnesota defense. So I'm going to take the Packers laying 10.
Actually, I think too. I think Christian Ponder is getting a start this week over McNabb too. So
right. You're right.
So you know, that being said, alone rookie quarterback. You know, the Dom Capers going to have that defense dialed up to confuse that kid and all like that. So I'm with you. It's hard to stay away from this. I don't know. Something tells me there's a little bit of a trap in here for some reason. I'm going to go with my head and my heart here of what it tells me, and my gut, I should say. Packers minus the 10. Let's see, the Sunday night game, Colts and the Saints. This one's not on the board right now either. So just tell me who wins and why.
I obviously think the Saints are going to win. I think their offense is way too high-powered for the Colts to handle. Curtis Painter ain't getting it done. I think the Saints create a few turnovers in this game and manhandle the Colts all around.
Yeah, I think we'll have to see what the line is on this right now. I'm showing it off as well, too. I would not think that's because Sean Payton has to sit upstairs and call the game from up there. But, boy, what a good opponent to get at home, being you know, your coach is hurting upstairs there. I think the Saints win this. I think they win it easy, too. Let's see, the Monday night game before we get to the Steelers game. Ravens travel to Jacksonville, take on the Jaguars. Ravens favored by 9.
And as much as I want to pick the Jaguars at home, I still got to go with the head pick here and go with Baltimore. I think they're, you know, as much as it sucks, Baltimore's playing well right now. That defense looks pretty good, and Jacksonville is just pretty bad. We should have manhandled them last week, and I think the Ravens are going to do just that.
Yeah, I don't know what is it about this game that scares me. You know, I think the Ravens were 8 or 8.5 favorites last week. They ended up covering that against the Texans, I believe. I just don't know what to think about this game. Something tells me that the Jaguars can keep this game close like they did against the Steelers last week. So that being said, give me the Jaguars +9. Maybe they help us out and give us an upset there at home. I kind of doubt it.
I hope you're right. I would absolutely love it.
All right, let's get to the Steelers game. That's what everybody wants us to pick here. The Steelers go travel on the road to Arizona. Right now, the Steelers are favored by 4. Give me a score, too.
Only four. I got the Steelers winning big in this one. I think Ben's gonna come off, you know, hot off these inconsistent games he's been having. I think he's gonna settle in, get focused, not be throwing high so much, not missing open receivers, because I think they're gonna have a ton of chances to hit these speedsters on the outside and through the seams and on the crossing routes. I think Heath Miller's gonna play a factor. I think Rashard Mendenhall and the offensive line can get the ground game going. Hopefully the defense comes in and shuts the run down and gets after Kolb and puts pressure on him. Love to see a couple turnovers in this game, and I'm picking the Steelers in a big win, 34-14.
Wow. I hope you're right. That will silence a few people. Hopefully we get a few turnovers along the way, too. I'm probably not as scared about this game as I should be. I don't know. This is just a team I think we should beat. And I'm not as confident as you are, but I think they go on the road. I do think they cover. I see the Steelers 27, Cardinals 17 in this one. Steelers come home. We'll come home after that at, let's see, what would that be, 5-2 to get ready for the Patriots and the Ravens there. So I believe this will be a good building block week. I think they give up only, a couple touchdowns to be expected maybe this week. But I think they get the job done. Nick, I certainly do appreciate you joining us. Anything else you want to wrap up with before we get out of here?
I think I'd just like to say I'm happy that the offensive line is coming back healthy. I think Kimuatu coming back and adding a little bit of consistency there at left guard is going to help. Marquise Pouncey obviously solid in the middle. I think Raymond Foster's not getting credit for the way he's been playing. You're not really hearing a lot about him, which means he's doing a pretty good job. Max Starks playing pretty well over there, really bolstering that left side for Ben, making him more comfortable. And Marcus Gilbert coming back, continuing to learn, I think is still your best option at right tackle. So I'm really excited to see those five guys rock and roll.
I definitely agree. And, folks, make sure you follow Nick on Twitter at StillCityKid117. He's done a fantastic job sitting in for David Todd this week, and I certainly do appreciate your help, Nick.
Well, I thank you for having me on. It's always a great opportunity.
And that's going to do it for this episode of the Terrible Podcast. Hopefully, my podcast partner, David Todd, will be back Monday. That will be our 100th episode of the Terrible Podcast as well. So hopefully he'll be back for that as well. So have a great weekend. We appreciate everybody listening. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Hit us all up on Twitter. You know how to find us. Please pass on the word. We appreciate everybody listening as well. Have a good weekend, and go Steelers.